Hey, I'm Mike Levin with CyberSafe Teen Nation, and today we have a special guest, Joe Langford, a sex educator and therapist, and he has some special insights today, specifically about a topic we both receive a lot of questions about or have talked to parents who have a lot of issues with, specifically social media or screen time addiction. And Joe, can you give the audience a little bit of background of yourself and really kind of explain what addiction is?
I shall do my best. Hi, everyone. My name is Joe Langford. I'm a therapist and a sex educator, like Mike said. I hail from Seattle, and I have been working with teenagers since I was one. The high school that I went to was pretty cool and progressive at the time. And there were some master's level therapists that came in and trained a handful of us to work with kids in my school. So if a kid didn't want to talk to a grown-up about something, they could talk to one of us. And we had direct supervision from these like real life grown-up therapists. So kind of put me on a trajectory and made me think I could change the world and make it better. And I've literally been working with teenagers since I was one in all kinds of different capacities, but I've been in private practice now for almost 20 years. And so I deal mostly with the sex education piece, and then technology happened. So you can't really talk about sex now without talking about technology, and you can't really talk about technology without talking about sex. Those things are
definitely integrated, isn't it?
Totally integrated. So that has become my wheelhouse, like teenagers, sexuality, technology, and the mess they make when you mash them together sometimes.
Understand it. Excellent. So, you know, we're talking before we started here that, you know, what we hear about is, you know, technology addiction or social media addiction, screen time addiction. When parents come to you and say, you know, hey, my child is online or is gaming hours and hours and hours a day and they're addicted to it. And if we try to get them off of the game, then we have all these problems. In their mind, I understand they're using the word addiction, but it may not be exactly what we're talking about. Can you kind of explain what addiction is overall, whether involving drugs, sex, whatever it is?
Yeah, the biggest piece about like a true addiction is there's a physiological component. Like there's something about our bodies that becomes dependent on this thing that is usually like a physical drug that we ingest into our bodies. So when we talk about other things that are addictions, which we do as our society, and it's not necessarily a big deal, like people are addicted to chocolate or they're addicted to whatever. I may feel like I'm addicted to Netflix sometimes after the last few months, but
exactly.
But those aren't really addictions in the true form of the word. And so I get tons of emails, tons of calls from panicked parents, especially now that we're in this quarantine and kids are just everyone. We're all using screens more than we ever have before. Oh my God, my son won't stop playing his video games. He's addicted. My kid might be addicted to porn. And so I kind of spend some time talking parents off the ledge with that those are not really addictions. Like video game addiction, screen addiction is not really a thing. What I liken it to more is like, rather than thinking of it as like an addiction to something like wine or cocaine, to think of it more like an eating disorder, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like the French fries fault, right? It's the person's relationship to the French fries that's causing a problem. And so
I like French fries.
Who doesn't like French fries, right? And sometimes we can kind of go over the top with the French fries and we can spend too much time eating French fries and that kind of stuff. And without boundaries, right? We can do that. So when I deal with people who are kind of addicted to their screens, what I find more often is more like OCD kind of stuff, like obsessiveness, compulsiveness. They're scratching some other kind of itch, like anxiety or depression or fear or something like that with their video games or with their screens. It's more of that kind of a vibe, right? There's nothing bad about screens in and of themselves, right? It's really mm-hmm. about the person's relationship to those things that is causing the problem. That makes sense.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. So if it's not, if, you know, by the definition, it's not addiction, how is it kind of like addiction for these kids?
Well, I mean, it can be like addiction because people can get the sense that like they do feel better when they use it, right? Like if they're feeling anxious or if they're feeling depressed and then they do something on their screen, they can feel better. It's sort of medicinal in a way. And so it can kind of create a cycle in terms of that. There are some people who like can have reactions when they stop doing it. And so that can sort of also look like withdrawal symptoms, right? Again, it's not a physiological, something's happening with my body withdrawal because I'm not having the substance in my system anymore, but they can, have all those feelings that they're sort of like pushing away because they're spending all day like watching videos on Facebook. Mm-hmm. All those feelings can come rushing back in and get overwhelming. They can get more depressed if they're not sort of distracting themselves with their video games. They can feel more lonely or sad if, you know, they're not looking at the porn that they're looking at anymore. Those kinds of things can come in that can also feel sort of withdrawally. And so those things kind of contribute to it. Like, I feel better when I do this thing, and when I don't do this thing, I feel like crap. And so that sense makes people think about in terms of addiction.
Mm-hmm. So what are could be some of the like underlying causes? Like you talked about kind of like OCD, or there's an underlying issues. Is there a way for parents to know if this is just, if there are underlying factors they need to be concerned about, or if it's just this, you know, this kid, like when I was in college, of course, this is about the extent of my gaming career. Super Tecmo Bowl was the game. And I mean, me and my friends would play it all night. I mean, we played a lot. And it's one of those things that, you know, we weren't like leaving like, oh, we got to go back and play, but we played it a lot. How is there a difference, or what should parents look for as a difference of, do you just really like this game? You're enjoying it compared to, well, maybe there's some underlying issues of why they're spending so much time there.
Right. So I think any like parent, you know, parents know their kids really well, right? And so if they have a kid who already has like some kind of attention issue, right? Like they've got the ADHD or the ADD, that's going to play out in their screen use. If they have any kind of OCD or obsessiveness going on, that's going to play out in their screens. If your kid's depressed, they're going to play out in their screens. If your kid is anxious, they're going to play that out in their screens. If they're lonely, they're going to play that out in their screens. So the theme is, whatever's going on with your kid, they're doing it with their screens. That's the primary difference between their generation and all the ones that have come before it, right? Is because they have always had screens all of their life. Like the age cohort that we're talking about, like people our age-ish and their kids, they don't remember a time when there wasn't any screens, right? They, cavemen invented fire and then they invented Wi-Fi. Like, why would
you get any steps straight to it?
That? Like, that doesn't make any sense to them, right? We can remember a time where you had to plug phones into the wall all the time. And, you know, like there wasn't Wi-Fi necessarily.
Yeah, when he got the wireless cord or the cordless phone, that was a big day. Big day,
right? And so kids don't have, like, they play out all of their stuff on their screens, and so that's the mental shift that we need to make as parents. The kids aren't doing anything they haven't ever done before; they're just doing it with these now, rather than in real life necessarily. Especially now in the last year, where, you know, we've been in this quarantine. Even more so, people are playing stuff out through their screens. We're having, you know, Zoom Thanksgiving dinners with family over our screens. We're watching movies as a family over screens. We're playing video games. So that is kind of the primary issue. If your kid already has something going on with them, they had a fight with their best friend, like that is going to impact how they're behaving in their screens for a while. If they aren't good at making friends, right? They lack a certain amount of social skill. That is also going to play out in their screens. If they are super distracted from anything that is like, that can possibly take them away from having to do math for a while, they will play that out in their screens. So that's kind of the key for parents to focus on.
So kind of what you're saying, I'll summarize it for someone like myself, is if your child has any issues before their screen time, then that's definitely something you need to take into consideration when you're coming up with your plan or your contract to say, this is how much time you can be allotted.
Right.
And because if there's so many people don't have plans, and it's just like, you know, you play as much as you want. Well, the child who has those or any types of issues where they're finding escape in the games, they're going to want to keep escaping in the games, right?
Right. And anything. It doesn't even have to be bad stuff. I mean, if your kid, say, has low self-esteem, like that is going to kind of taint how and how often they go at their screens and what they're doing while they're on there. If you also have a kid who's a super creative artist, they're also going to want to do that on their screens, right? They're going to find a way to like work with screens and technology to create art and put it out and show off to their friends on Instagram. So it's not necessarily good or bad. It just kind of is the thing, right? So If your kid is having a problem with screens, rather than thinking, oh, it's the screen's fault, it must be a screen addiction, there's something we need to do about the screens, go deeper than that and figure out what is going on with your kid, right? Because that's the issue.
Well, it's kind of a little personal side to this is, you know, with my kids, they're obviously very young, 8, 8, 6, 4, and 4. But even at 4 years old, you know, they like to play games, and to the point to where we have to limit. My parents bought my 8-year-olds now, when they were 6, a little Nintendo game system. I think Nintendo Wii. And of course, we don't let them get online. They just play regular video games. So we had to limit it to just, you know, like Saturday mornings. That was it. Because if we let them go whenever they wanted to, they would go 24 hours a day with it. And we're like, it seems like addiction, but you're getting obsessed with it. And it's all the thing they want to do. So we had to even bring that back. Now, kind of fast forward 2 years, they understand, you know, when they can play games, when they can't. But one of my 8-year-olds is interested in coding. And so I had a different program for him before. It's kind of more or less gamification. This one's getting a little more serious. We're actually not literally writing code yet, but you're starting to kind of drop and drag code over it to do different things. And obviously, you know, he really, really, really is enjoying this. And to the point, like this morning at, you know, 6:30 in the morning, he's like, hey, can I get on the computer and start coding? And so it doesn't have to be, like you said, it doesn't have to be a negative thing.
Right.
It can be a good thing. You know, this is something he's interested in, and it's a learning experience. You have a lot of cognitive abilities that he's working on. But still, even with that, what would you tell a parent like myself to say, you know, if it's good or bad, how do you limit that? What's appropriate to limit?
What I like about what you said, Mike, is like that you are aware that you're involved in what your kid is doing and you are limiting the time, right? So you're not just like letting him go willy-nilly, right? And I think that is an important piece of it, is just being aware of what your kids are doing and creating limits, right? So the coding thing is fantastic, and kids are doing that left and right, and they're going to change the world with that stuff, right?
Absolutely.
And that is a reflection of what life looks like. Like they operate, you know, we shop, we consume media, we talk to our friends, we stay connected with people, we do business, everything through screens now, and that's not a bad thing. So kids are doing that. So a little kid, an 8-year-old wanting to code for screens is the today's equivalent of like back in our day when you gave the kid a little construction set who wants to grow up to be a construction worker, or a science kit, the kid who wants to like work in a lab someday. So kids are coding now because that's what their world looks like, what our world looks like, right? So there's nothing inherently bad about that. And you don't want to let them do it whenever they want to do it and all damn day, right? So putting limits on it, just like we do with everything else, right? Like bedtimes and meal times and going to your friend's house and going to the park or whatever. Like we put time limits on stuff, right? And if we don't create those boundaries or help our kids create those boundaries, that, in my experience, that is what causes a lot of the problems.
I've got a kind of a new, I guess, way of looking at things on something similar, which is the gaming as a job, like through Twitch or through the different outlets, which it legitimately is becoming, I think, a career path for people that we never have really seen before. I thought, you know, just a few years ago, well, it's just, you know, people trying to make money, but these kids and teenagers, you know, are becoming young entrepreneurs, on say like Twitch. And if you don't know what Twitch is, then Twitch is a platform where people can game, and people can watch you while you're engaged in whatever game you're playing. They can sign up for sponsorships. They can sign up to subscribe and pay you like a monthly fee or weekly fee. And you can have your own product lines. You can have all these different things, which is crazy to me, you know, just a couple of years ago to think that that's a legitimate career, but it is becoming more and more an option for kids. Yeah. And obviously it's not everyone's going to be this great gamer, like making $200 million a year, but there are gamers making $200 million a year. But if for something like that, where if it's coding or if it's gaming to where they're looking at it as a business, not just a way to play more games online, what kind of advice would you give to a parent who comes to you and says, you know, my child's very interested in this and they're having some entrepreneurial spirit involved with this. How do I foster that without just letting them go free with it?
I get questions about that quite a bit as well, because it is a thing. Like that is a thing that people are doing. Like there's YouTubers out there, and then Twitch, which is a lot like YouTube, but specifically mm-hmm. about watch me play my video game. And kids see that and they know who these people are. And so that has also, again, just like I said earlier, like kids aren't doing anything they haven't ever done before, but like where people wanted to be rock stars or movie stars or pro basketball players, right? Which is a thing, and that happens to some people. It's a small percentage of the population that mm-hmm. do that, but there's a lot of kids that have gone through that phase where that's what I want to do. And now kids are still doing those, but they also might be a famous YouTuber or might make $1 million on Twitch with sponsorships. And they could, but that's a small percentage of the population, mm-hmm. but they're wanting to do that. If your kid is wanting to do something like that, then I think helping them lean into that entrepreneurial spirit is a really awesome thing. And rather than letting them just do it on their own, I encourage parents to jump in and do it with them and treat it like a business. Like, let's make a business plan. You know, there's 800 people with a YouTube channel about making slime or how to wrap presents really well. So what are you going to do with your feed that's going to be different? What are you bringing to the table that's going to make you stand out or be unique from the other 8,000 people that are doing the same thing? And really getting kids to think about what they're doing, practice, starting with limited audiences when they first start out, right? Like a curated list. I encourage parents to turn off comments, like never read the comments, right?
Definitely.
Especially if you're a kid. And to not necessarily advertise that you're a kid. So just kind of start slow, keep it simple, and have really clear expectations about what is your feed about, what content are you going to be putting out there, and what content will you not be putting out there. Like, here's a list of 10 things that you will not be talking about on your feed, right? Or words you can't say, things like that.
Excellent. You know, I think the education of the parents and then the parents walking through them with it is such a big part of it. And just like with the coding, you know, my background is in the tech side, but you know, I'm not a coder. And so when I was learning it, I was sitting next to him as we were going through this, and I was learning just as he was learning. And I think with, you know, before parents jump in, like you said, of, okay, well, you want to be a YouTuber. Well, it sounds great to be a YouTuber. Being a part of that, you know, it helps them, one, you understand as a parent,
yeah,
where your child is getting into, but then two, it also helps your child understand that there's a process. This isn't like, I'm gonna put one video out, it's going viral, and I got to sit around in my couch for the rest of my life. This is, I mean, it's hard work to do the videos and be consistent and to worry about the marketing and all those other things. And like you said, and you start looking at search terms and digging into it. I mean, it's a lot of work. And I think, you know, a lot of kids, like you said, used to be, I want to be a pro basketball player. But then when they get on the court, they realize, you know what, this is not for me. You know, these guys are 2 feet taller than me, and I can't shoot very well. So they may limit, the child may see, okay, well, oh, that's a lot of work. It sounds cool, but that's a lot of work. So maybe they move on to whatever else they're supposed to be doing. So I think it's a great idea to have the parent involved and then kind of leading the child through that experience.
Excellent. Yeah, no, I totally agree with all of that. And I think in terms of that, some of the problems that kids have with it is the like, well, I did my thing and I have my feed or my page out, and I'm putting out content and like nobody's responding to it. And so now I'm starting to feel like crap about myself, and just telling kids like it is not instant. It's a lot of work. It takes time. You got to build up to something. And so avoiding that trap. And then the other trap that, especially as kids get older, they'll figure out like, oh, if I can be scandalous, if I can be sexy, if I can be silly, if I can be stupid, like I'll get more likes and attention if I do that, right? And so,
and that's true. Sure that, saying, that is true.
This stuff is not okay. Like, we're gonna, again, like, what is your feed about? We're gonna keep it limited to this content. And
like I was just going through Instagram yesterday and went to the IGTV to see what, you know, what people are putting out. And most of it, probably a third to, not a half, but about a quarter to a third, are women in either tights or leotards or, like I said, dancing like that, or guys doing something really stupid, hurting themselves. Yep. That's the majority of that content. And that gets the likes, that gets pushed up front. But yeah, like you said, you got to think about what that does to you. And exactly what you said.
Yeah, quality and consistency for the long haul. And but just making sure that we have those conversations with kids about avoiding those pitfalls, because it is easy to kind of follow that lead and fall into those traps.
And we always like to give our parents resources, and you have a resource, an app out there. Can you talk about the app? As I'll pull the app up here in just a second.
Yeah, thank you. So it's pretty new. It's just out. It's searchable in the Apple App Store under BeHeroes 411. And so it's an information gathered app. So it's a resource for kids directly that they can have in their pocket. All kinds of, you can see there, the topics, relationships and dating, substances, personal safety, social media. So all those things that can happen, that do happen to us in our daily lives, but aren't like necessarily 911 emergencies, but that kids could use a little bit of guidance and information to deal with. Like, I need to break up with someone, or there's, you know, there's one that's like, I'm on a crappy date with someone who's kind of a jerk and I need to get out of this. What do I do? You know, someone is stealing my identity. Someone took my personal information and shared it on the internet. My friend wants to drive drunk and he's my ride at a party. Like, what do I do? And so these topics are all kind of cross-referenced with each other by section, and kids can look in and it's very clearly like, do this, do this, do this, don't do this or this or this. And that they can look at it in a moment's notice. There's lots of resources in there, everything from calling an Uber to Planned Parenthood to 911 if they in fact need that. There's lots of links that they can just push a button and get to a resource that they need for more information. But I'm really, really proud of the app. I worked really hard on the content and I got feedback from a lot of the kids that I work with. And it's a pretty, I think, well fleshed out app in terms of those issues that young people can run across and not necessarily know how to deal with on their own.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's got an incredible amount of just situations that kids face. Now there's the quizzes part here too. What's the quizzes part?
That was just a way to kind of add a little like gamification to the app.
Okay.
And make it a little more fun as well. So the information is presented in all the sections, and then each section has like a quiz that the kids can take about the content. Just to see like what they retained, and then hopefully kind of nail it down inside their brains that they'll remember for the future. So they don't have to necessarily rely on the app, but that they know where the information is and they have a sense of what's going on. But even, yeah, like I feel depressed. You know, what do I do about that? A friend of mine said that they might hurt themselves. How do you handle that situation? I might have gotten someone pregnant. What do I do? Like all these things are kind of laid out in an app.
Well, this is awesome. So can you tell them again where this can be found?
Sure. Its nickname is 411, but the true name of the app is Be Heroes. Like my website, BEHEROES 411. It's in the Apple Store. And so, yeah, if you have a kid between the ages of, you know, 12 and 22, I would encourage them to, you know, with my kids, I definitely have some apps that I said, you need to have these apps on your phone. And I think this would be one of those for those categories for you other parents that do that as well.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, we appreciate you, one, coming on today, and two, doing what you're doing with kids and sharing this information, especially on this app, make it so available to them. Thank you for what you do.
Well, back at you, Mike. I'm really honored to be asked on that. I love the podcasts. I love the work that you're doing in the world as well. There's not enough of this stuff, so thank you.
We'll definitely have you back.
Right on.